Hi, welcome to another inspirational message recorded live at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
Whether you understand it or not really matters not to God. The reality is God is able to take you regardless of your present circumstance and those around you. For even when I was praying yesterday afternoon, there are many in the city that are in a place of great despair. There are many in the city that are in a place of great darkness, hopelessness, concerning the church, concerning their walk with God. They don't know where they're going, what's going on. And God is going to change all of that. Can you say amen? Amen. Look, it's really good to be with you. I hope I wasn't freaking out too much. Somebody just help me, you know, just, okay. That's what prophets do. They prophesy what they hear, what they see. And that's what I see, amen. And so there are many things that I see and many things we'll share this week. But this morning I wonder if you could just turn that sound up a little bit. Everybody's different and my prophetic expression comes with sound, like it did with Elisha, like it did with Samuel, etc. and so forth. And I really appreciate the band. I really appreciate all of you. And thank you so much. I thought you guys, don't you want to give the band a God bless you? I think they did great. Amen. And maybe if it's possible, I don't know, but maybe you can push me up just a little bit on the monitors, please. Thank you. If it's possible. And just tell me how you want me to hold the mic. That helps you, and we'll work together. When I was praying yesterday afternoon for the morning session, which I figured would be primarily for the majority of you here, possibly a part of this household of faith within the total body of Christ. And I want to share a little story with you. It's one of the most ancient poems in Scripture, and it's known as the Song of Deborah and Barak. And it's a victory song. It's a great victory song. But it's not only rejoicing and celebrating in what the Lord had done, because you see, the Lord needs a body and the Lord needs people. Can you say amen? All right. So I'm not kind of like really preaching this morning. I don't think so. We'll see how far we get, but we will most certainly get into that aspect. And I do believe that God has a lot to share with you and to encourage you. Amen. There are two paths that I saw in the vision just now, even this morning when I was praying. And don't despair if you find yourself on the wrong path. It's very simple. Just get off it. Amen. There's a season of time that God has allotted to United States of America right now. Now, I don't hear anyone saying amen, but let me say that again. There is a season of time that God has allotted to the United States of America right now for the church of the living God. And if you are wise as the church, you will seize this opportunity and you will see a revival the likes of which this nation has never, ever seen before. And it's okay. If you want to doubt, that's fine. You can't doubt in the prophetic. But let's get into this. If you got the New King James Version, let's go to Judges chapter number 4. It's a well-known story. Judges chapter number 4. Number 4, which comes before 5. That's right. Judges chapter 4 verse 1. Thank you so much, sir. When Ehud was dead, who's Ehud? Ehud is Ehud. And Ehud was a judge. He was a judge, a leader in Israel. And it was very interesting this morning when I was looking at this guy, Ehud. I thought, who on the planet earth is Ehud? I never heard of him in my life. Amen. But he's right there in verse number 1. The problem is he died. And something happened when he died. Now we're all going to die. You know, it's just a matter of where, when, and how. That's why I've decided that I'm now going to live every day as if it's my last day, because one day it will be. Amen. And you know, many Christians are trying to live too many days at a time. Just take one day at a time. I'm not talking about planning financially. I'm talking about living for Christ. Take one day at a time. When you wake up in the morning, say, God, I thank you for this day. And today, I'm going to pick up my cross, which is not so heavy, by the way. And I'm going to follow you for today. Just like you're doing right now. It makes it a heck of a lot easier when you're worrying about how you're going to do it tomorrow. But Ehud was a character And this word Ehud, the name Ehud, means I will give thanks. I will praise, release praise. I will be undivided. I will move in unity. And we understand that Joshua had just started an entire legacy, if you will, but they had not yet defeated the enemy known as the Canaanites. But Ehud, a guy that had an attitude of gratitude, who was grateful for the great things in life. You know, aren't you glad that the blood of Jesus Christ has taken away your sins and mine? Aren't you glad that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? You know, if we had nothing else to be grateful for, we could be grateful and thankful that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. And so the fact of the matter is, this is a man, this word Ehud means grateful, thankful, praise, means union, undivided. When that comes to an end, there's all kinds of evil that has the potential to come in. So you've got to have an Ehud around. If there's no Ehud around, look what happens. The children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. When the attitude of gratitude departs, am I boring you this morning? When the attitude of gratitude departs, when unity is gone, when divisiveness enters in, then evil creeps in. When I talk about evil, it doesn't necessarily mean that which is blatant sin that is obvious to the natural eye. I'm talking about a darkness. I'm talking about an inability to really know which way to go relative to the victory that Christ has already given to us and attained for us through Calvary. So the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera, who dwelt in Harosh Obeth Hagoyon, thank God for Vero Beach. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. They cried out to the Lord, amen. For Jabin had 900 chariots of iron, and for 20 years he had harshly oppressed the children of Israel. When I read that this morning, I was thinking to myself, I got saved in a revival, in a time of revival, a revival that was happening around the world. And for those of us that have ever experienced revival, we will know that what we are presently experiencing in the body of Christ as a whole around the world, in most parts of the world, bar a few, is not revival. But it's rather we feel like we're the bottom, not the head. I speak to a lot of Christians around the world, and let me tell you something, most of them don't even know what victory is in Christ anymore. They don't even know what it is to have authority anymore. I'm not talking about you now. I'm talking about in general. But you know what I'm finding? There's a people that are sick and tired of being sick and tired. I know people don't like that, but it's true. There's a people in the church that are saying, you know what? We cannot continue the way we've been carrying on for the last 20 years. Because if I think back, that move of God's Spirit began to peter out about 20 years ago. And it seems like the enemy is taking our children. It seems like the enemy is destroying our marriages. It seems like the enemy is robbing us financially. It seems like he has seemingly the upper hand. But listen, it's about to change. It's really about to change. You need to understand what I'm saying to you. A door, an effectual door. I had a vision. Now, an effectual door has gone open for you. The enemy will try and resist you, and you'll find out this week with what manner he will try and do it. But I want you to understand the door has gone open, and no amount of resistance, if you will believe, will stop you from entering into a door that is effectual. In your spiritual essentials, in my spiritual essentials, I'm more excited than some of you, because if you didn't get it, I got it. And if I prophesied to nobody this morning, I'd prophesy to myself. And I tell you something, I'll get off that path of destruction, and I'll get into his path of righteousness, and I'll walk in through that door and take my inheritance for this hour, because God has an inheritance for America, which I saw over 25 years ago. And what I saw over 25 years ago is no longer to be prophesied as a future event. It is now present, and it's time to take it. It's time to take it. The Spirit of the Lord says it's yours. Take it. There's a big difference. There's a big difference about prophesying an event that is to come and recognizing that which you've prophesied is present. Jesus said, he says, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, but the violent shall take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. Everything that had been prophesied, predicted about him was no longer to be prophesied for that time. Is anybody out there? In other words, he says, until John. Why? Because John didn't prophesy the future coming of the Messiah. He looked at Jesus Christ and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. In other words, Jesus understood that John, no longer as a great prophet, he didn't do any miracles. But Jesus called him one of the greatest prophets. Why? Because he recognized the hour. He recognized that everything that had been predicted by Jeremiah, by Isaiah, by Ezekiel, by Joel, by Daniel, I hear their voices. And the Spirit of the Lord says, a lot. You got a lot. Now it's time to take it. It's time to step in through that door. For too long, the enemy has seemed to be prevailing against many. Whether it be in your flesh, whether it be in your soul, whether it be against you spiritually, but something is about to shift, because you must understand that God is sovereign, you see. And when he decides something is to be, it is to be. And that hour is upon us. And let me tell you in part what it is. It is the greatest harvest planet Earth has ever seen. And the Spirit of the Lord is about to raise up laborers for the harvest. And you are about to see multitudes in the valley of decision come running to the mountain of the Lord's house. Thus saith the Lord. Whether you believe it or not, it is true. You can sit around and wait. I ain't waiting. I'm going to go in. Amen. I have decided to follow Jesus. Thank you, Pastor Alex. Sorry. Hello, everybody. I'm not being pastoral this morning. Okay, I am a pastor. I have a church. But I'm not being pastoral. Okay? I can be. And I can teach you. And I can give you notes. And I do that. But right now, I'm here to prophesy this week. Is that okay? So do you mind if I just prophesy? For Jabin had 900 chariots of iron. And for 20 years, he had harshly oppressed the children of Israel. They were God's covenant people. But unity had departed. Gratitude had departed. True discipline had departed. Because let me tell you something, if you cannot apply appropriate discipline within the church, you are eliminated from binding and loosing. You cannot exercise authority against the forces of darkness and allow and disallow. If discipline has departed from the church, you can go and study at Matthew. Everyone reads Matthew 18, read the rest of the chapter. I love you dearly. I know, but you should, most of you know me anyway. Man, come on now. I've taught you what the prophetic is all about. If you haven't got, you get the stuff. Amen. Listen to it. I can't recap. I mean, we got to move on. I got to tell you this morning what God is saying. And we're going to get into some very powerful stuff. And I want to encourage you. I really do. I very seldom do this, but I want to encourage you to phone somebody who's backslidden. There's a reason for that. Thank you for your underwhelming response. But how many of you know? You know what I saw in the vision this morning? I saw Jesus going after the lost. Do you know that sometimes he leaves the 99 to go over that one lost person? And that's his heart right now. He wants that lost one. That one that's gone off the way. That one that used to be so hungry for God. That one that you know, your family member, your child, your son, yourself. The Lord is taking us back, and it's his goodness that's going to bring us to a place of change. Okay, I better move on. I haven't even started this thing yet. Where's the clock? Oh, there it is. Okay, thank you, sir. Thank you. Now, Deborah, a prophetess. I could just go on a tangent right there. Prophets preserve. The gift, not the man. Forget about the man. I'm a mess like you. But the gift inside of me. Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 7 says, grace is given to all according to the measure of Christ's gift in the context of some. I'm not talking about saving grace now. I'm talking about a grace that gets you to the place of maturity, that gets us to the place of doing the work of the ministry. Okay, let me get... Now, Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, which is very interesting because it means illumination. Some scholars say she was married to illumination. Speaks of this incredible union between her and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And this makes her very dangerous, by the way. How many of you know a person who really is walking in the Spirit is an extremely dangerous individual in Christ? Very dangerous, because it, with such is the power of God to heal, to deliver, to save, to open your mouth and speak as the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is, by the way, the spirit of prophecy. If you reject the spirit of prophecy according to Revelations chapter number 9 verse 10 in the B part, then you have rejected the ability to be a testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was judging Israel at the time, not necessarily judgment as in we understand judgment. And she would sit under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the mountains of Ephraim. Hallelujah. In the mountains of Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. Then she sent and called for Barak, the son of Abinoam from Kadesh in Naphtali, and said to him, has not the Lord God of Israel commanded? Go and deploy troops at Mount Tabor. Hold on a second. It's been 20 years of oppression. What are you talking about, Deborah? Now, I'm married to illumination. And I'm telling you, I have an understanding right now, she's saying, is that now's the time. Now's the time to no longer submit to this status quo. Now's the time no longer to submit to this faithlessness. Now's the time to no longer submit to this passivity. I speak to myself. If I preach it to anybody, you are preaching to me. Now's the time to get out of that place of prayerlessness. Now's the time, she says. Now's the time. God has spoken. Go. In other words, don't be status quo. Don't be mundane any longer. I'm talking to myself, of nobody else. Don't be the same old, same old, same old. Something has shifted. An effectual door has gone open. It's time to go through. It's time to go in. And there awaits a great harvest, the likes of which you have never seen. Go and deploy troops at Mount Tabor. Take with you 10,000 men of the sons of Naphtali and of the sons of Zebulun. And against you I will deploy Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude of the river Kishon. And I will deliver him into your hand. That's what God says. For 20 years it's been zero. For 20 years there'd be no hero. For 20 years, you've been belittled, you've been mocked, you've been despised. It's been chaos, it's been divisive, it's been whatever it's been. But whatever I've intended it to be, which is a great victorious, mighty, radical, risky, revolutionary, spiritual might on the planet. And now Deborah, the prophetess, says, by the Spirit of God, it's time. Everything's going to change. It's time. And God says, I'm going to deliver the enemy into your hand. Let's go from verse number 12, please, my brother, if you don't mind, we just, or sister, whoever's doing it. And they reported to Sisera that Barak, the son of Abinom, had gone up to Mount Tabor. Amen. Carry on. Thank you. So Sisera gathered together all his chariots, 900 chariots of iron, and all the people who were with him from Harosheth Hagoyim to the river Kishon. Let me just say this. These chariots of iron, that Sisera, that king, believed that when he came against Israel, everything was dry. He was going to completely annihilate and wipe them out. Let me tell you, the enemy has believed that he was going to take you out. The enemy believed that he was going to stop you. The enemy believed that you wouldn't even be still praising and worshiping God in this day. He believed it with all, but God did something. God said, listen here, man, I want you to get up and fight. And listen, when God gives you a promise, he will bring the enemy to you. Because when he gives you the promise, he's given you the ability to overcome the enemy. You don't even have to go to him. He will come to you. And that's a good thing, because when he comes, you know what happened in this battle? How many of you know God sent rain? He sent rain. So it's not like he was doing it alone, and it's not like they were doing it alone. Let me tell you something. I hear the sound. Like the sound of the abundance of rain. It is the sound of the wind of the Spirit that is bringing the rain of the Spirit to the United States of America. For it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And this rain bogged the enemy down. Hello? And because of the obedience of God's people and the intervention of God Almighty himself, together they defeated the enemy. Now we all know the story. And Sisera alighted from his chariot and fled away on foot. But Barak pursued the chariots and the army as far as Harosheth Hagoyim, and all the army of Sisera fell by the edge of the sword. Edge of the sword. I could preach a week on that. Not a man was left. Listen, there are seasons where there is war, and then there are seasons for peace. Sisera fled. We all know the story about how that lady Jael tricked him with the warm milk, made him sleepy, and drove a tent peg right through his head. So my wife wrote a book, 101 Ways on How to Kill Your Husband in His Sleep. Let me tell you something. These women can be dangerous. How many of you know these women were dangerous? And let me explain something to you. Do you know that God is helper? Is one of his most powerful attributes in the Old Testament, and it speaks of a feminine expression. This was unusual that God would give such great victory to women. It was analytical, it was different. Is anybody out there? What I'm saying to you is that the Spirit of God says, I'm going to do something different. There's nothing new under the sun, but there's a lot you haven't discovered yet. And you're about to discover some dynamics about God you've never experienced in your life before. Now let me close with this. This is an incredible victory. And I'm standing and I'm sensing the presence of God, because I anticipate the inevitable divine intervention of God on your behalf. I sense it. Man, God's going to do something awesome in America. I just wish the American Christian would see it. And that's what my job is as a prophet, believe it or not, is to get you to see what I see. Because until you see, you cannot be. When Elisha and his servant faced a military might that had the potential for annihilation, Elisha saw the natural. But the servant came out and freaked out because he also saw the natural. The difference between a prophetic person and somebody who is not walking in the Spirit is that they cannot see. And then the natural becomes their reality. But a prophet is not in denial when he sees the reality of the military might. He just sees something that is another reality for him. And what he sees is horses and chariots of fire all over the place. Even this morning, it is so. When I walked in here, God says, my angels are here. And I'm not just saying that glibly or lightly. I tell you, they are. And I'm excited about that. Whether you're excited about it or not doesn't really matter to me. I tell you why. Because when I was 5 years old, and I'm going to, maybe God will release me to share this week, I was called to follow Satan at the age of five, my friend. And I'll never forget how a ball of fire appeared in the corner. As a five-year-old kid, I never understood until I read Hebrews chapter number 1. And I found out that holy angels are ministers of fire. No, we don't worship angels, don't be silly. I'm just saying they happen to be here, which I'm quite grateful for, because Elisha was. And in his frustration, he had to deal with the unbelief and the 20/20 vision of his servant and say, oh God, please open his eyes that he can see. He wasn't blind, but Elisha had to strike him blind to the reality of his 20/20 vision so that he could see from a spiritual perspective. See, because when you see like Elisha saw and you don't see like the servant saw, you have two different expressions. One is faithless, anxiety, stress, give up, hopelessness, despair, etc. But when you have the Holy Spirit, He gives you a perspective which is called spiritual insight and foresight. And although that's your reality, although cancer might be a reality, although, and there are diseases that God has already begun to heal in this place, but let me just say this, that those are a reality. We are not denouncing or denying that reality. But that's not my reality. There's another reality. And that reality is powerful. And so let me close with this quickly. They sing in Judges chapter 5, one of the most ancient poetic pieces of literature in scripture, and eventually evolved into the great song. They call it the Song of Deborah, but although she penned it, although she wrote it, Barak sang it with her. If you take it from Judges chapter 5, verse 1, please. I don't know if you guys are going there, or must I just carry on reading? Is there a problem? Is that okay? Shall I wait? Thank you. Thank you, honey. Thank you so much. When victory had been attained. Now, I know victory has been attained on Calvary. And let me tell you, victory had already been attained when God said it was so, but it had to manifest in the physical. And when it manifests in the physical, Deborah and Barak sing the most ancient of poetic literature in scripture. Then Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, sang on that day, saying, now watch. They weren't just singing a song of victory for God sending the rain. They were singing a song of victory for two reasons as well. When leaders lead in Israel. There were some leaders that arose to the occasion. And the leaders are led by a vision. Paul the Apostle said to King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. To every part of the household of faith within the whole body of Christ, God gives a vision. That vision leads, and it requires obedience, because without a vision, the people perish. But without people, the vision dies, and it ticks God off. I don't know if anybody just heard what I said. Without a vision, the people perish, precious people of God. But without people, the vision will die. Are you guys okay? So they sing the song, not only because God had given them victory, but because some guys stepped up to the plate as leaders. If you don't have leaders rising up in the house, there's no followers. And followers are not evil or insignificant people. They are warriors who willingly offer themselves. In other words, they are what we call volunteers. This ancient song, poetic declaration of great victory, is not only in honor of God sending the rain to bog the enemy down so that God's people could annihilate him, but because there were those that were willing to lead and there were those who were willing to offer themselves. And she says, and he says, and everybody, they get everybody to sing, bless the Lord, because of this reality. Go to the next verse quickly, honey. Hear, O kings, give ear, O princes. I will sing to the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel. Lord, when you went out from Seir, when you marched from the field of Edom, the earth trembled and the heavens poured. The clouds also poured water. Hallelujah. I'm almost there. The mountains gushed before the Lord, the Sinai before the Lord God of Israel. I could go on a prophetic tangent right there, but I've got 6 minutes left. Let me tell you something. There is a gush of water that is coming. If anybody listened to the prophetic utterance this morning, that is the river of the Spirit, my friend, that will bog and suck the enemy into a place of total inability while you are preserved and protected in a way that you cannot even begin to imagine is a reality. In the days of Shamgar, son of Aneth, in the days of Jael, the highways were deserted and the travelers walked along the byways. Village life ceased. There was no more community. There was no more unity. It ceased in Israel. And I, Deborah, arose a mother in Israel. Amen. In other words, I decided to get up because I heard God say something. I got the vision. I realized it's time. And then it says, they chose new gods. Then there was war in the gates. Not a shield or spear was seen among 40,000 in Israel. My heart is with the rulers of Israel who offered themselves willingly with the people. Bless the Lord. Now, bear with me for a few more minutes. Don't go there. I'll take you to the next verse now. This whole song is about a vision that God had given. But without the people, the vision would not have come to pass. And this song is blessing the Lord, I'm going to show you in a few seconds, and the people, because there were 6 tribes that didn't participate, and they were cursed by the angel of the Lord, not by Deborah. But there were 4 tribes that didn't participate, 6 tribes that did. Let me just take it from verse 15 for me. I'm almost finished. Are you guys with me? Please help me. I'm just laying a foundation. This is what I got when I was praying yesterday. So, okay, might not be my greatest hallelujah message, but we'll get there this week. And the princes of Issachar were with Deborah. Now, there's some of the tribes that joined Deborah and Barak. As Issachar, so was Barak, sent into the valley under his command. Among the divisions of Reuben, there were great resolves of heart. In other words, now here you start to see the tribes that for all eternity are rebuked in this poetic song of victory. And Deborah and Barak sing. They sing about this one tribe, this 4 of them, Reuben, which was the firstborn from Leah. And she says, there was divisions of Reuben. There were great resolves of heart. Next verse. Why did you sit among the sheepfolds to hear the pipings for the flocks? The divisions of Reuben have great searchings of heart. This speaks about a group of people that sit in the church and forever entering into the great debate. Should we? Shouldn't we? Could we? Couldn't we? I wonder what they'd say. Da, 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 da. And they're busy pleasing the flock rather than pleasing the Lord. They're listening to the pipings of the flocks. And as a result, it produces divisiveness. Do we go for it? Or do we sit here and wonder? Wonder, don't you? And they sat and they wondered. And they reasoned. And their little minds were going and they were talking and this, but they never entered into the battle. They never participated, never got involved. Is anybody out there? And it says they've got great searchings of heart. Sounds great. Always busy discussing great things. Next verse. Gilead stayed beyond the Jordan. Gilead didn't enter in either. And he gets rebuked in this great song of Deborah. And he gets rebuked because they were beyond the Jordan. Guess what? It was just for them, just too much effort. The other guys were too busy reasoning, should we, shouldn't we? The other guys, it's like the Jordan, this is too difficult for us. Too much effort to cross that Jordan, too much effort to die to self. Let's just live for ourselves. We're quite happy here. Let the other guys fight and we'll just enjoy the spoils. Gilead, are you guys with me? And then there was another tribe, the tribe of Dan. Remember Dan? Why did Dan remain on the ships? What was that? There was merchants. They were the businessmen and the businesswomen that never came to the party. They never got involved. Is anybody out there? In other words, they had the abilities to finance the battle, but they chose to make more money than to contribute to the war. They get rebuked. In fact, I'll show you now in a few seconds, they get cursed. And to be, listen, God does a lot of cursing in the Old Testament and in the New Bible, mind you. Okay, I haven't got time to teach you that, but all right. The Bible says, through some of the writers, Paul, John, let him be accursed. That's in the New Testament, but okay. This doesn't seem to be going down too well. I'm just reading the Bible, okay? I'm not giving you a fancy 10-point new eschatological revelation I just got yesterday. It's very simple. Why did Dan remain on the ships? Busy making money but not participating. Asher continued at the seashore and stayed by its inlets. In other words, pleasure. We're just going to hang out at the beach. We're just going to go fishing only. I'm not against fishing. I'll go fishing. Amen. But when that becomes a priority, I'm just going to play golf while everybody's praying. I know this might not be my greatest message, but okay. That's what I got from the Lord. It's for you. Enjoy it, okay? Zebulun is a people who jeopardize their lives to the point of death. Naphtali also on the heights of the battlefield. They begin to commend these warriors. You know what blesses me? When I drove in here, and I'm not a pastor, I'm just a guest, and I'm a brother, I'm a peer. And I'm humbled that you would have me come here, and I appreciate it, and I'm very grateful for the opportunity. And I love you dearly, and I know Pastor Harold does too, and he prays every day for you, by the way, every single day. Without a vision, the people perish. But without people, the vision dies. And Naphtali also on the heights of the battlefield. The kings came and fought, and the kings of Canaan fought enough by the waters of Megiddo. They took no spoils of silver. Let me close with this final verse. In verse number 23. Curse Meroz. Those tribes, all those tribes we just discussed, that never participated in the battle, in the vision, if you will, that came from Deborah, the prophetess. Is anybody out there? Not Deborah, not Barak, the angel of the Lord. Curse Meroz. That's all those tribes that fit into that region, Meroz. Said the angel of the Lord, curse its inhabitants bitterly. Look what he says. Not because they didn't come to help Deborah and Barak. If the heavenly vision is from God, when you reject that call to support and, I don't know, dear God, I'm listening to myself thinking this is not my style, but anyway, I don't like to talk like this. This is not my style. So then I know it's God. But curse Meroz, said the angel of the Lord. Curse its inhabitants bitterly because they did not come to the help of the Lord. To the help of the Lord against the mighty. Isn't that interesting? So you see, yes, the battle is the Lord's, of course. But he's not going to just flit around doing it all by himself. You and I are the body of Christ. And I tell you, when I drove here and I come into the car park and I see Tato standing there, that's how you pronounce his name, Tato. I'm thinking, you know, here's a warrior. Here's a warrior. I look into your faces and I see warriors. There are people here. You're committed. You're consistent. It's not the man that leads, it's the vision. And the vision comes from God. And the man has to manage and be a good steward of that vision. And like Deborah and Barak, you've got to get the guys into the battle. I'm talking spiritually now, of course. Whether it's the fight of faith or whether it's to take up the sword of the Spirit and execute judicial punishment of the breath against the enemy that's raging against our souls. Whatever it is. But for all eternity, those tribes that jumped in, right in the beginning, she says, when leaders lead in Israel, and when the people willingly offer themselves, bless the Lord. Amen. And I think you should give yourselves a great big God bless you for being a participant of what God is wanting in your life in this time. Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. It's great to be with you. And I love you dearly. And it's a pleasure and a privilege. Just, that's what I got. That's what I give. But tonight we're going to be preaching some preaching, prophetic stuff. Amen. And then I'll prophesy. I'll have more time to prophesy to you. And there's already things God is showing me that we need to deal with in precious people's lives. Don't be afraid or embarrassed. I'm not looking for your sin. Okay? It's not what I'm looking for. I couldn't be bothered. It's not my job. I'm not the Holy Spirit. See, the Old Testament prophet, he exposed your sin. But the New Testament office of the prophet is not to expose your sin. He can. Trust me, if I do, which I've only done 6 times, you'll die. Okay? But it's not my job to deal with your sin. It's the Holy Spirit's job to convict you of sin, righteousness, and of judgment. Not my job. So I'll let the Holy Spirit convict you of your sin. Just deal with it. Amen? But my issue is not to find your sin, because then we'd have to write books about each other. My issue is to find the secret that is locked up in your heart. And when we talk about the secret, the mysterion, the mystery that's locked up in there, it's not talking about your sin. I don't have to tell you about your sin. You know about it. Deal with it. But there's something about you that you must discover, that God put inside of you from before the foundations of the earth. And I can prove it through many scriptures. I can prove it to you in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, and we can go on and on and on. But my point is, there's something special about you. And for you to jump in and participate in what God is about to do in this hour, I want you to discover who you already are long before you were even born. And I want to introduce you to yourself. Not the way you see you, or people see you, or Satan suggests he sees you, but how God sees you. And that makes everything so different. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming. We'll see you tonight. I feel strongly in my heart to encourage you, to inspire you. Get a backslider to come this week, because I know God is after them. Amen. And he loves them. And I'll be praying for them. And you bring their people that are, I could go on this morning, man. We're just getting going here. I could prophesy over some of you, your children, cancer, all this kind of stuff. We'll deal with it this week. Amen. Say amen. Agree with me. Amen. Amen. God bless you, man. Thank you so much, honey. You're such a blessing. Thank you for your help. And we'll see you tonight. Amen. Love you lots. Have a wonderful day. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.